Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell, and coming up, we have a lot more. We're going to talk racing in this hour, some football and basketball. We'll continue with that right now, though. It's a busy weekend. You need to catch up on what's going on in sports, and the man to do it, the star of our show, Network Indiana's James Adams.
Thank you again, Coach. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here with you and Nathaniel Finch in the downtown Indianapolis studios for Network Indiana. As Coach said, we got a lot of scores to get through. Very busy weekend here for sports in Indiana. Right now, a quick scoreboard update from the NBA. The Sacramento Kings are up 18-13 in the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. 4:21 left to go in the first quarter. In the Eastern Conference play-in game, the Miami Heat got the 112-91 victory over the Chicago Bulls. They will go on to face the Boston Celtics in round one of the NBA playoffs. The first round of the NFL draft is set to begin. We are less than 1 week away. Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. is when that will get started. Earlier today, Colts general manager Chris Ballard spoke to the media. One of the things he addressed was if his draft philosophy has changed over his tenure here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I like think I'm growing. Yeah, in a lot of ways. I mean, like, you know, longer you do this, I mean, even scouting or longer you do it, you hope you can grow and figure out, you know, who are the ones that, I mean, you're always looking for unique talent, unique traits in a player. But then also on the flip side of that, you know, making sure the character's always been very important with us without question. But making sure that we're drafting not only the unique traits, but also some substance with it, with the tape. Now, we've always been pretty consistent with that, but, I mean, there's times you'll take a chance. And then I know where you're getting at, because we're going to trade back, and I can already see the article.
Ballard also addressed the flexibility that having his franchise quarterback Anthony Richardson on a rookie contract brings.
I don't know draft-wise particularly. I mean, look, when you got a young quarterback, I've always thought, I mean, you got to protect him. All right, that's one, which I think we did a pretty good job last year, and I think we'll continue to do well. Tony's done a really good job with that group. We got a pretty talented group of O-linemen. You want to continue to add, you know, playmakers around him. You know, being able to sign Pitt back, having, you know, Jonathan now fully healthy coming into the offseason. He looks really good. I expect him to have a really big year. You know, putting more players around him is what you always want to do. Watching Downs take another step, have Pierce take another step. Those are going to be, you know, important for us to have success.
You heard him address protecting Anthony Richardson. Here's him diving more in depth on that topic.
I don't know if it's an urgency to get certain positions as much. It is a good feeling knowing that we like him. We like what we saw and where we're going with him. Like I said, one, protect. Block and protect. It's one of the most, like, you just look through the league, you just look through the playoff teams. I mean, they all can block and protect. So I think that's critical. I think that's one. I remember Andrew used to tell me all the time, Chris, let's get me protected. I'll get the ball. Get me guys that'll catch it and get to the right spot, and I'll make the rest work. Most of the really good ones, that's how they kind of roll. Of course they want, you know, do you want the superstar out there? Absolutely. But protection, to me, is always first and foremost.
In Major League Baseball today, the Cincinnati Reds got the 7-1 victory over the Los Angeles Angels in the eighth inning. Eli De La Cruz had a 3-run home run. Here's how it sounded.
Well hit to left. Ward can't get there. That's gone! Opposite way in a big way. A 3-run shot. And the major pad for the Reds, his 6th of the year, makes it a 6-run edge.
Some other scores right now. The Kansas City Royals are up 9-4 over the Orioles. I'm James Adams for Network Indiana Sports.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. Before we talk IU football and basketball, let's talk to Howard Kelman, the Hall of Fame voice of the Indianapolis Indians. Indians tonight, 7-2 winners over St. Paul. Howard, thanks for the call. Big win for the Indians tonight.
Oh, it sure was, Bob, and that's 4 in a row The Indians have won. They're above 500. They're 10-9. And this comes on the heels of losing 5 out of 6 in Toledo. So don't try to figure out baseball. It is very, very unpredictable.
Well, one thing you can predict, if you get 10 hits and limit your opponents to 5, I like your odds.
Well, yes. But this was a game that was tied 2-2 going to the bottom of the 8th inning when the Indians erupted for 5 runs. And it started, as it so often does, with a leadoff walk. And in fact, it was such a crazy inning, Bob. Bob, we had catcher's interference called twice in the 8th inning.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Yeah, the odds of that happening are pretty slim. But it's okay. But, you know, 5-run 8th inning, that's big. You know, again, we talk about it every year. Leadoff walk will come back and beat you 80% of the time. But they're more than just that. It gave them the impetus and timely hitting by a lot of different people tonight.
Exactly. And it wasn't the home runs tonight. They didn't hit any of those. But it was, as you said, timely hitting. There were 3 walks issued in that 8th inning, a couple of base hits. And before you knew it, there was a sac fly before that put the Indians ahead. Before you knew it, they'd scored 5 times. The first catcher's interference came with the bases loaded. And the second one, 5 batters later, came with men at second and third. So the Indians got good pitching. It was a bullpen day. And as you know, Bob, Paul Skeens pitched yesterday, and he didn't allow
right.
a run again.
I'm not so sure he's ever going to give up a run in Indianapolis, quite frankly, with the way he's been.
That's 4 starts, Bob. He's pitched 3 innings, 3 innings, 3 1/3, 3 1/3, and he's not allowed a run. And he has been absolutely phenomenal. And as we've said, he has a chance to be a great major league pitcher.
Well, how much more time do you think the big club needs to make a decision on when they bring him up?
I don't know. It could be soon. But you just don't know.
Yeah.
They had Quinn Priester made a start tonight. He got recalled, and he got hit very hard. So I don't know if they want to give Priester another turn. Priester took the loss to the Boston Red Sox, or they want to pitch Paul now. Paul can't go more than about 4 innings right now.
Right.
But still, 4 innings is a mighty good start, anyhow, to get you going.
Howard Kelman, Hall of Fame voice of the Indianapolis Indians. Indians with a win tonight against St. Paul, 7-2. The final, playing them again tomorrow. When you're at the ballpark, buy his book. 61 humorous and inspiring lessons I learned from baseball. Howard, thanks. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
As always, Bob, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Howard. Jack Ankeny joins me. Jack, thanks so much for the call. Jack, I'm showing my age right now, and that would be, you have to always remind me, it's Sports Illustrated Indiana, but the website, we go to this quickly by going to what?
Yeah, HoosiersNow.com is like our branding, and it's under the Sports Illustrated Fan Nation umbrella.
I apologize. You're gonna have to always tell me this, Jack, because
no worries.
Being a septuagenarian has its good things and bad things. Okay. It just does. I'm so glad you called. Spring game last night. How'd that go? A Thursday night spring game. I love the fact that they stepped outside the box and did this way. How did it go?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bob. It was a good experience. You know, the last few years they had kind of done some modified spring games where it was, didn't have quite the same feel, but they let in fans. They had a decent showing. It was good to see, this team has so many transfers. It's I think getting up to 23, 25, maybe something in that range. So, I mean, we've been allowed to go to some practices and things, and I feel like I'm just still learning the team, but it was good to see. I think the quarterbacks, it's Curtis Rourke who they brought in from Ohio. He had a good I think he spent 5 seasons there and was a 4-year starter, has a 6th year of eligibility. And He kind of had a slow start, but then he really kind of found his groove on the final drive. I think he completed like 8 passes and led him on a touchdown drive. Looked really sharp there, completing a lot of kind of intermediate passes, like 10 yards or less. Mm-hmm. Very accurate, got the ball out quick. I don't know if they were really wanting to him to throw it deep, if that was kind of the plan to just kind of get him in the groove.
Okay.
And then Taven Jackson.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah.
I hate to interrupt. You know the drill here. Can you hang on here through this scoreboard update? All right, perfect. Jack Ankeny and I'll come back. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Here's a quick NBA scoreboard update in the Western Conference play-in tournament. 11:08 left in the second quarter. Sacramento up 24-22 over the New Orleans Pelicans in a tight matchup. Also earlier today, the Miami Heat beat the Chicago Bulls 112-91. That game to send them to the first round of the NBA playoffs where the Boston Celtics await. Statistical leaders for the Bulls, DeMar DeRozan led the way with 22 points in 41 minutes, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. Meanwhile, for the Heat, Tyler Hero led the way, 24 points and 33 minutes to go along with 10 rebounds and 9 assists. Later on this weekend, Sunday, the Milwaukee Bucks will take on the Indiana Pacers. That is game one of their first-round playoff series. That begins Sunday at 7 p.m. Indiana won 4 out of the 5 games of the regular season. However, Pacers small forward Aaron Nesmith says this is a brand-new series against the Bucks.
It's a different team than we played earlier in the year. It's a different coaching staff. They play differently. So there are some things that we can take from those 5 games that we played them, but we can't sit here and act like just because we beat them 4-1, in early January and before that it's going to happen again. We got to still game plan the same. We still got to go out there and earn this series win.
Once again, tip-off from Milwaukee is set for 7 p.m. on Sunday. In Major League Baseball, at the end of the 8th inning, the Kansas City Royals have a 9-4 lead over the Baltimore Orioles. The Detroit Tigers at the top of the 8th are tied 4-4 with the Minnesota Twins, and the Milwaukee Brewers, top of the 8th, are up 1-0 over the St. Louis Cardinals. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm James Adams.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Before I rudely interrupted him, we were talking with Jack Ankeny from HoosiersNow.com, IU football last night, spring game. So, Jack, who impressed you last night? Who you came away, you talk about the number of transfers. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But who caught your eye in the spring game last night?
Right, so one of the linebacker transfers that they brought in from James Madison, his name is Aiden Fisher. He was an all-Sun Belt guy with James Madison, led them in tackles last year, and they had the number one run defense in the country last year, including Big Ten SEC. And
right.
He's going to be the leader of the defense next year, it seems like. And, he had double-digit tackles last night, was flying all over, around the field. He really impressed me because I think that was a question mark position after losing Aaron Casey last year, who was a first team all Big Ten guy. So Fisher really stood out. Not that it was a huge surprise. Like, I think, he was expected to be a starter, but just to see him really, really lead that defense and make a ton of plays was impressive to see.
So what will we see offensively? You got a chance to see it up close a little bit last night. Stylistically, what is it we're looking at?
Yeah, so I think it seemed like their passing game was they wanted to get the ball out pretty quickly. With Rourke, who started, transfer from Ohio, he was completing a lot of pretty quick passes, trying to get the ball out fast, and then Taven Jackson, too, played pretty well with the second team. Mm-hmm. He went 7-for-7 on his first drive, led 2 touchdown drives, but then had an interception late. They played, I think they're going to play about four or five running backs a game. They really split those carries, and they got 3 guys that were all productive at schools like Wake Forest, North Carolina, and James Madison. So it seems like they have a very deep running back room to the point where they can kind of mix and match guys that have, different styles and try to balance the run and pass game. So that was kind of my takeaways from the offense. And I think they have a talented receiver core, too, returning Donovan McCauley and got some transfers at that spot, too. So it's, yeah, a lot of quick passes, mixing in the run game and throwing it to the running backs. You know, Cignetti had a good run with, I think, three, like first team all Sun Belt quarterbacks the last three seasons. So it's a position he's had success with in the past.
So you mentioned Fisher as a linebacker. What struck you about this defensive approach that they have?
Yeah, it seemed it really seemed like they were, you know, they whether it was Fisher or guys coming off the edge, they really seemed to play pretty aggressive, and they weren't hitting the quarterbacks or anything, it seemed like guys like Fisher or another guy, Mikhail Kamara, was a JMU transfer. It really seemed like they had a good feel for just, you know, attacking the ball and, you know, not waiting for guys to come to them.
Right.
You know, they were being the aggressors. That was kind of the impression I took away defensively.
All right. When's the season start?
I believe I think it's the end of August, maybe August 31st. They open with Florida International in Bloomington.
Okay.
I think the good thing about the schedule is it starts pretty soft with, like, three. They have Florida International, Charlotte, and Western Illinois. And then some of the other Big Ten teams that are not, you know, they don't play Ohio State and Michigan until the way end of the season, and they don't have Penn State this year because the schedule changed with the realignment. So it seems like the first 6 weeks, they have six games that are not, you know, that all seem relatively winnable, and then the bye week. So I think that plays to Cignetti's advantage where they could potentially get off to a solid start. You know, it's not like you're opening the season with Ohio State last year or at Iowa, I think, 2 years ago, where you're just thrown into the fire immediately. I think that runway could help Cignetti.
All right. That's great. Jack Ankeny with us from Hoosiers.com. How much time do you spend paying attention to the portal right now? That has to be one of the biggest things you do in your job, is it not?
The whole, ever since basketball season ended, that has been the majority of what I'm doing, writing stuff about guys they're talking to, guys they're hosting for visits. They've landed a couple guys for basketball. That has certainly taken over this time of the year for my job.
So this is how crazy it is. So you have a spring game last night, and quite frankly, they are still recruiting. There may be additions to this roster that we're not familiar with because people will still be available and haven't committed. Is that right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, Cignetti got asked about it after the game last night, and he's like, you know, I'm looking for the best talent I can get. So I don't think this roster is done. And I think they had four guys go in the portal today after the spring game. And no one, no guys that were expected to start, but some guys that could have been backups or good pieces for depth. They had, I think, four guys go in the portal today. So this roster is pretty far from complete, I think. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them add, you know, a handful of new guys that could make an impact next season.
All right, to bring me up to speed, bring us all up to speed on what's going on the basketball side.
Yeah, so they've added two transfers so far. Miles Rice, he's a point guard from Washington State. He was Pac-12 Freshman of the Year, first team All Pac-12 last year. I think he averaged about 12 points. Didn't shoot the three all that well. I think about 28%. His field goal percentage and free throw percentage were both pretty good. And I think he ended the season like 0 for 22, something like that from three. So he had shot it better earlier. They also added Umar Balo, a 7-footer from Arizona, who was another first team All Pac-12 guy the last 2 years. So they got their point guard and they got their center to replace Xavier Johnson and Khalil Ware from last season's team. They still have four open scholarships, and this weekend they have several guys visiting. Cannon Carlisle from Stanford is visiting this weekend. They had a couple days ago, they had Connor Esiason, the guy from Wisconsin. visit. Right. I think he's visiting Nebraska now. They're hosting Elijah Malone. He played at Grace College, which is an NAIA school, like by Fort Wayne.
Right.
He was like NAIA Player of the Year, and he's trying to make the jump now up to Division I. I think he's visited IU and Notre Dame. Like football, the basketball roster is far from set. You know, they still got four spots that they can fill. They also got a pretty late commit from a freshman, Bryson Tucker, who's like 6'6", can probably play the two or three. He was a top 20 recruit. So it seems like they're off to a pretty good start with Tucker, Rice, and Balo, which I imagine they'll probably add some depth to the front court and maybe another three-point shooter. But, you know, they return Trey Galloway, Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, mm-hmm. which I think is a solid core of three guys who were pretty good last season. Both rosters, with the portal being, so much movement that it creates, still a lot to happen before the season starts.
Jack Ankeny from HoosiersNow.com. Jack, you're the busiest guy I know. I appreciate you taking time. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do this again. Thanks very much.
Yep, thanks for having me on, Bob. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks very much. I'm thankful now. I had a great opportunity to be involved in coaching and administration in the college ranks for as long as I did. But I am so glad I don't do it. This would drive me crazy. Well, it hasn't. Coming up, we got a lot more to talk about. Greg Rakestraw is going to join us when we come back after this scoreboard update on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Quick NBA scoreboard update. The Sacramento Kings right now find themselves down 31-38 to the New Orleans Pelicans in the NBA Western Conference play-in tournament. 6:13 left to go in the second in that one. Some statistical leaders at this point. Domantas Sabonis, the former Pacer, has 10 points for the Kings. Also, De'Aaron Fox has 11 for Sacramento. Meanwhile, for the Pelicans, Jonas Valanciunas, he has 10 points leading the way for his squad. Earlier today, the Miami Marlins, they lost a 8-3 game to the Chicago Cubs. Miami falls to 4-16. Chicago now 12-7. Chicago would go up 7-0 before the start of the fourth inning. Brian De La Cruz would hit a home run in the fourth to give Miami its first score. They would add two more in the ninth, but it would not be enough. Once again, Chicago wins 8-3. The two teams will face again tomorrow in a doubleheader to make up for a game postponed last night for inclement weather. Game 1 tomorrow, 2:20 p.m. Game 2 set for 7:40. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Miami Heat beat the Chicago Bulls 112-91. They move on to the first round of the NBA playoffs where they'll face the Boston Celtics. Meanwhile, in the Major League Baseball, some ongoing games right now. Top of the ninth, the Detroit Tigers tied up with the Minnesota Twins 4-4 in that one. End of the eighth inning, the Milwaukee Brewers still holding on to a 1-0 lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. Toronto Blue Jays up 5-0 over the San Diego Padres at the top of the third, and the Mets are up 2-0 over the LA Dodgers. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm James Adams.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. James Adams, my first chance to chat you up. How are you?
I'm good, Coach. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm still trying to recover from the fact that you used to be our studio producer and then quickly, 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
It was longer than that.
Yeah, and then bolted for some daily show on our flagship station in Indianapolis. And so I haven't had a chance to, I don't remember the last time I worked with you. This may be it since you made that change.
No, I've done a couple of updates for you every now and then. It's been a couple months for sure though.
Got it. All right. Well, I'm still mad at you, but not that mad. I have a long memory.
it's good to be working with you again. I definitely miss doing it on the regular.
Nah, there's no need to lie, for heaven's sake.
It's not a lie.
Well, you know, fortunately, we're working together. It's a lot of, there's a lot going on this weekend.
Oh, definitely.
A lot. And we got racing. We have basketball. We have football. We have a lot going on. So you heard my conversation with Jeremiah Johnson about the Pacers and the Bucks. So what do you think about this series starting on Sunday?
Well, I think Giannis probably being out, that is a big, big win for the Pacers. Obviously, I know the Pacers beat the Bucks 4 out of 5 times in the regular season, but we on JMV show, the show that I produce now, as you well know, we have had a lot of different Pacers on throughout the week, and a lot of them have said this
right.
is an entirely different series. The Bucks have a new head coach. The Pacers obviously no longer have Buddy Hield. They now have Pascal Siakam on the squad. So, I mean, Pacers are different. The Bucks are different. New scheme, new everything. This is a brand new series. Obviously, Giannis being out does benefit the Pacers, but the Pacers cannot afford to overlook the Bucks. They cannot afford to get out to one of those notorious slow starts that they have had throughout the season. John has been pounding the table all week that the Pacers need to get out, get the win game one, hopefully, you know, win get both of the first two games, honestly, but you need to get that first game, need to win it, especially without Giannis in the lineup. And it's going to be so important on Sunday, but I'm very much looking forward to see how the Pacers look against the Bucks. Should be a good matchup, should be a tough one, though.
Well, the old coach in me looks at it, I understand what you're saying, but here's the thing, it's an analytical world nowadays in sports. It's all about stats, and it should be to a large extent. You want to win the first game, irrespective of whether Giannis is playing or not, because statistically, in these types of series, the winner of game one has a higher probability of winning. And that's number one.
Oh, absolutely.
Take all of it and put all the rest of it aside. We need to win, because if we win, we're up 1-0, mm-hmm. and that gives us an edge and an advantage. And so all the other stuff is for you and me and others to chat about. But the real reason you want to win is statistically, it's in your favor if you can pick up game number one.
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I know John has been also, not to keep bringing up stuff that we talk about on the show in the day, but something that he has pointed out is it will be, if the Pacers can actually get this thing going, if they can win this series, it'll just be so nice for the city of Indianapolis. It's mm-hmm. been so long. I mean, the last time the Pacers made the playoffs was in the NBA bubble, so nobody in Indianapolis got to really go and support the team. So it will be... even if they can just stay competitive, make it an interesting series, but if they can win, it will be so nice, especially after the disappointment with Indiana State
right.
and Purdue and all the other crap that Indiana sports fans have had to endure
right.
the last couple of years. Just make it fun. Be a team worth rooting for. Give us something to be happy about. We are dying for something to be happy. John said we are thirsty for success right now, and I would agree with that.
I would also caution everyone, not caution, but point out to everybody, the players have I'm sure they probably don't talk about it necessarily, but the understood part of what they do is if they win this series, they make more money. you want a motivation to play well and win? You're professionals, and if you play well and you win, you go to round two and you get paid for winning round one. It'd be great for the city and all of that. I understand all that, but I'm also aware of the reality of this situation is professional athletes, the more games you win, the more money you make.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, not to completely pivot off of here from to the NFL, but we know obviously the draft is coming up. It's a big week for the Colts.
Yeah. When does that start? Next weekend? Draft is next weekend, right?
Round one starts Thursday at 8 p.m.
Okay. Well, I blew the draft off for this weekend because I'm just the draft drives me crazy because all the experts in my next life, I'm coming back as a draft expert. Because you don't have to know anything or be good at anything. All you have to do is just put out plenty of theories and people eat it up.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
In terms of, and if when people go back and check how close you were or what your success, you're having none, but it doesn't matter. People still follow it. But, you're right. But go ahead. Your point on the draft, it is coming up.
It is coming up, and I was just curious if you have. I mean, you said you've put it off, obviously, for this weekend. I was curious what your thoughts are on what direction. Do you think the Colts go offense or defense with the 15th overall pick?
It's not something I've delved into. My inclination is. Would be for them to go defensively. The whole idea of, at that level, you really need to defend people, and you have a dynamic, I think you have a basis of a dynamic offensive group, and you can always help yourself out on the defensive side. And so from a general standpoint, I would tend to go more on the defensive side than I would offensively, because I think they have some really, really key people in place on the offensive side. Clearly, you can always use more wide receiver help and those kinds of things. But I think you can. You always need offensive linemen. There's no question. But it's a general thought for what I would do. But then again, I'm not Chris Ballard. Number one, I'm a basketball guy by training, by nature. And secondly, I have this crazy notion that you hire people who are smarter than you and let them do their jobs. And so the one thing I don't do, I'm not a football expert. I'm not a player analyst. I'm not in that biz. And so I defer to the wisdom of guys like Chris Ballard and others. And so it's a pretty good political answer to a simple question, don't you think?
Oh, I think you handled that very well. That was very well said.
Yeah, that's why I've done it for 30 years.
There's a reason you have a show.
I'm also a former college administrator, and so you have to be able to juggle your responses. You have to be able to talk to different constituencies and say some of the same things in different ways, and so. I can get around it. So, all right, what else you got? What else is going on?
Well, for me at least, I'm excited about the draft. I'm excited about the NBA playoffs. I know you've mentioned we got racing coming up.
Right.
I'm not the biggest racing guy, but I know obviously we've got the 500 coming around just around the corner, really.
Right.
And so we're going to start gearing up for that, and that's going to be a very exciting time here in Indianapolis.
Join me tomorrow night. You're working tomorrow night, right? You're working again.
I don't believe I am.
No, you're not. I misunderstood. Well, studio producer extraordinaire Nathaniel Finch is working tomorrow night.
Coach trying
so
to fire
tomorrow
me.
Night, just done. I didn't fire you. You're rehired. Just to give you the tease, everyone, join us tomorrow night. Mark James. Will join us. Adam Alexander will have you covered on both of those fronts, on NASCAR and IndyCar. Short break, scoreboard update coming up with the man himself, James Adams. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
In the NBA Western Conference play-in tournament, it is halftime. Right now, the New Orleans Pelicans have a 54-45 lead over the Sacramento Kings. For the Kings right now, De'Aaron Fox has 18 points. He leads his team. The former Pacer Domantas Sabonis also has 10 points as well for the Kings. Meanwhile, for the Pelicans, Jonas Valanciunas has 12 points as well. In the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat beat the Chicago Bulls 112-91. Statistical leaders from that game, DeMar DeRozan led the way for Chicago with 22 points in 41 minutes. Meanwhile, Tyler Hero led the way for Miami, 24 points in 33 minutes played. In Major League Baseball, at the bottom of the ninth inning, the Milwaukee Brewers are up 1-0 over the St. Louis Cardinals. At the end of the third inning, the Toronto Blue Jays, they have a 5-1 lead over the San Diego Padres. The Los Angeles Dodgers find themselves down 2-0 to the New York Mets at the top of the third inning. Meanwhile, end of the second, Arizona Diamondbacks and San Francisco Giants. No score in that one. Once again, end of the second. Some games that have gone final. Chicago Cubs, they get the big win over Miami Marlins, 8-3 today. Chicago now 12-7, Miami 4-16. The Cincinnati Reds, they beat the Los Angeles Angels 7-1. Cincinnati 10-9, the Angels 9-11. The Boston Red Sox get the 8-1 victory over the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Philadelphia Phillies beat the White Sox 7-0. And the Houston Astros, they get the win over the Washington Nationals 5-3. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm James Adams.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Driven, the number 2, savelives.org is their website. Sign up today. Help lives in the future. Anyone can sign up. There are no age limits, no health restrictions to sign up to be an organ donor. Every 10 minutes, someone is added to the donor transplant waiting list. There are more than 1,000 Hoosiers waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. And by signing up to be an organ and tissue donor, you can help save 8 lives and heal 75 others. Again, they're extremely important website, DrivenToSaveLives.org. The best at what he does, Greg Rakestraw, joins us from the ISC Sports Network. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Coach.
What's going on tonight?
I'm on my way back from Southern Indiana, not doing a play-by-play event, just overseeing our production on ISC Sports Network of a new soccer team, Southern Indiana FC, who played the Bowling Green Lions to a 1-1 draw, probably two of the better teams in their division in a league that's called the UPSL, which is kind of an entry point for guys that maybe have either played professionally in the past, try to play again, guys that have been college players, a chance to play at a very high level. And this is the second home game for Southern Indiana FC, mm-hmm. which is based in New Albany. They have played 4 games in total. They had won their first 3 games by a combined score of 16-1, but they felt they were playing kind of a similar operation tonight and thought it'd be a close game and played to a 1-1 draw. And now I'm chatting with you while rocketing my way back up I-65.
I would assume, as should law enforcement, that you are following all the posted speed limits on that trip back from the southern part of the state. And just
now, Bob, you know me. You have been on the road with me like, you know, a pair of old wrestlers in the territory days. You know that I set my cruise control to about 10 miles an hour north of the speed limit, because if not, you and I would be sitting here just, you know, opining about something. I look down and I'd be going, oh, darn, I'm going 95 miles an hour. I realize I have a lead foot. In fact, I'm actually running up the ISC Sports Network Shaggin' Wagon as we speak, as I'm talking to you. So the cruise is right now on 77 as I am barreling towards Scottsburg right now.
I will not be involved in this. I'm just a host of a radio show. So it's interesting. A brand new franchise. I think it's cool. It's not an easy thing to do. You should know, obviously, being the voice of the Indy 11, starting a franchise at any level in any sport is quite an undertaking.
It is. And frankly, there are a lot of franchises at amateur level, and to give you some alphabet soup here, UPSL is probably the most common league that kind of the semi-pro/amateur teams play in. The old school one's called the NPSL. There are more regional ones. There's something called the OVPL, the Ohio Valley Premier League. There is a Midwest Premier League that has teams in Illinois, in Michigan, etc. But there are really, say, 4 different leagues at a professional level. There is obviously the big one in Major League Soccer. There is the league that both the Indy 11 and Lou City play in, which is the USL Championship. And then there are 3 professional leagues in the tier below the USL. There's USL League One, there's MLS mm-hmm. Next Pro, and there is a league called NISA, the National Independent Soccer Association. So there are 5 different fully professional leagues that play in this country. And then you have multiple leagues at an amateur level that play below that. And this is the level we're talking about for these 2 teams tonight. Although, frankly, there are some guys that are, again, either former pros or potential pros that were probably playing in tonight's game.
It's kind of fun, and it gives people a chance to go out and watch some soccer on a beautiful night tonight.
It does. In New Albany, they play at the high school complex, which is at a separate high school from, or separate school from the high school. Probably had about 750 in attendance tonight. What was a gorgeous night in Floyd County.
All right, hang on through the short break, okay?
You got it.
We'll be back on Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Greg Rakestraw from the ISC Sports Network doing some soccer tonight. All right, Greg Rakestraw, in addition to your duties at the ISC Network, you are part of the Colts Radio and Television Network. Draft day starts on Thursday night. Give me a quick rundown of what their needs might be and what we might expect in this upcoming draft.
Wide receiver, tight end, maybe one more corner, and probably offensive line depth. Last year, their needs were macro. This year, they're very much micro. They went on a free agent spending spree to bring back their own players. So they mm-hmm. will have as many starters back as any team in the National Football League will this year, where I think there are holes on the roster. I think they have an open wide receiver spot. I can tell you four guys are going to make the team. They kind of need a fifth. So Pittman is a one, Downs is a slot, Pierce is a two or a four, Doolin's a five that can play special teams. And this is a very good wide receiver draft by mm-hmm. all accounts. Mm-hmm. It would not surprise me to see the Colts have a wide receiver picked at 15. I think if the Bowers kid from Georgia at tight end is available at 15, it'd be very difficult for the Colts to pass him up. They have several bodies in the tight end room, but they don't have a guy that has the skill set that that guy has. I would assume that in day number two or early in day number three, they will mm-hmm. look for some offensive line depth. They will bring back all five starters, but they always will look for pieces like that. They are young at corner. They will play likely three players that are in their second or third year, but it would also not surprise me if a second or third round pick is used on additional cornerback depth as well.
They have the luxury, as you point out, of having done their work in the offseason and had some really talented young guys. I think it's kind of interesting. You're looking at – I like how you said it, micro and macro. I think a good position to be in. And clearly, everyone anticipating and excited about the return of Anthony Richardson. So, without question, I think people should be pretty excited about this group.
Very much so. You know, you've got a couple of teams in the division. Houston, going out and getting Stephon Diggs. Now while C.J. Stroud played, Houston has everybody's attention, given what they did last year. Jacksonville kind of took a dip, but they clearly have their quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. They're going to be a tough team to battle with. I think really the only true question mark for the Colts, what exactly is Anthony Richardson and can he stay healthy? If you mm-hmm. answer both those in the affirmative, this can be a scary good team as well in 2024.
He's Greg Rakestraw from the ISC Sports Network. Greg, be safe on the highway. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Coming up, top of the hour scoreboard update with that knucklehead, James Adams. We're back on Indiana Sports Talk.